I preached a message on the staff. And Brother Mel Mathis, after I preached on it, a couple weeks later, he went out and he designed this based on the message that I had preached. In Luke, in chapter 2 and 25 through 33 and 36 through 38, this is so amazing to me. You see, the Bible is so precise. It is so accurate. Some people says that the Bible contradicts itself. I just stop by here to tell you, if you don't try to mix grace with the law, the Bible will not only not contradict itself, it will be so precise and so accurate that you can draw the measurement. You can put a pen in it. The Bible said that the Word of God is quick and sharp and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, able to divide asunder the soul and the spirit and the joint and the marrow. No medical doctor can tell you where the marrow stops and the bone starts. But the Bible says that the Word of God knows exactly the ending of the marrow and the beginning of the bone. That's how precise and accurate the Word of God is. And as we're going through the transition, and we just came through the Christmas season, and we're looking at a man named Simeon. Now, the name Simeon is the Hebrew name for Simon in the Greek. So the name Simeon means a stone. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the same man was just and devout and waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Ghost was upon him, and it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, you see, Simeon, I want you to understand that the law was written on a stone, and Simeon means a stone. So he's operating according to the law. Then took he him up in his arm and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou servant depart in peace according to thy word. In other words, let the stone depart. I can go now because I am holding in my arms the salvation of the world. Let thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. Oh, my blessed God, I want to tell you something, church. If we'll get our minds and our hearts right, our lives are going to be blessed in 2017. Oh, have your eyes beginning to look at the salvation of the Lord and stop looking at yesterday and what it used to be, because there's a brand new day that's dawning. He said, mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of the people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled, Jesus' mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. Now I want us to go on down to verse 36. I want us to see something a little bit new. And now there was one Anna. Now, I want you to know that Simeon means the stone. And Simeon said, let me depart. The stone and the law can go. Now, Anna means gracious. Oh, my God. In other words, this is how precise and how accurate the Word of God is. It wasn't just penned from the mind of a man, but holy men of old spake as they were moved upon by the Holy Ghost of God. Hallelujah. And now even the names matter. And there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age and had lived with an husband 7 years from her virginity. I want you to know that the number 7 is the number of completion. The number of 7 means that it's complete. and she lived with the husband from her virginity for 7 years. But then maybe her husband died or just disappeared. I don't know what happened to the husband, but look at how everything just falls into place. And she was a widow of about 84 years. She was 84 years old. The number 7 is in the verse prior. And now we've got the number 8 in the next verse. She's 84 years old. And the Spirit of the Lord said that the number 4 is the number of the foundation. We talk about the four corners. Oh, then the Bible says that the stone that the builders rejected became the head of the corner. I want you to see that there was 7 years, and then she became a widow, and now she's 84 years. She's 84 years of old, and she did not depart out of the temple, but served God with fasting and prayers night and day. That's what widow ladies did. They would go into the temple, and they would just live there, and they would do the foot washing, and they would do continual praying. But I want you to look at this next verse, and she, coming in at that instant, gave thanks likewise unto the Lord, and spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. Oh my God, the lost Simeon said, let me depart. And the Bible could have just said, and Anna came in. But it didn't say Anna came in, but it said in that instant. Oh, in other words, immediately when the stone walked out, grace walked in. My God, where do you want to live? That's what the new year is all about. You can't mix them. You see, when grace came in, everything in the Old Testament pointed toward that grace that was coming. Amen. Everything. And nothing seemed to point more toward the coming grace than the staff. And the Bible says in Hebrews, now I told you I'm going to be preaching a lot on faith. Finding faith, following faith, finishing faith, future faith, forward in faith. But look in verse 21 of chapter 11 in the book of Hebrews. The Bible says by faith, when he was a dying, I don't know why it was a dying, Jacob by faith, you know, he didn't walk through the fiery furnace by faith. He didn't go into the lion's den by faith. He didn't build an ark by faith. By faith, when he was dying, he blessed Joseph's two boys and worshiped, leaning upon the top of his staff. Does that mean anything? I want to tell you, when the Bible writes it, it has a message behind it. Can you imagine? You were known for your faith when you blessed your two grandchildren. What a powerful, you see, God sees faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. And if the only thing you're doing by faith is blessing your child, God sees your faith. It removes us from opposition. The staff. Look in Genesis 32 and 10. Jacob now has deceived Isaac, he put on goat skins. And he goes in. Esau had sold his birthright to Jacob. Jacob didn't have to deceive his father because God told Isaac and Rebekah that the older son was going to serve the younger. But because Isaac would not bless Jacob by the word of the Lord. They had to use trickery. And Jacob goes in to Isaac. And he brought the venison. He claimed it was actually his mama got him to go kill a little kid goat. Because Esau was supposed to bring some venison back. And I can promise you, you can kill a goat in the lot a whole lot quicker than you can catch a deer in the woods. And Jacob shows up and he says, I've come. I got the venison for you. And Isaac said these words. He said, you sound like Jacob. Come here, let me feel you. He said, but you feel like Esau. And Isaac blessed Jacob. This is a powerful revelation because faith comes by hearing, the Bible said, and hearing by the word of God. But Isaac blessed Jacob by what he felt more instead of what he heard. I just stopped by to tell you, if you want to have a great 2017, base it more on the word of God and what you heard than you do on what you feel. And Jacob is leaving because Esau's going to kill him. And Jacob said, I am not worthy of the least of all the mercies and of all the truth which thou hast showed unto thy servant when he comes back by Esau. For with my staff I passed over this Jordan, and now I am become two bands. In other words, he had herds, he had flocks, he had children by his first wife, Leah. He had Joseph by Rachel, and Rachel was pregnant with Benjamin, and Jacob is coming back. He said, when I left home 20 years ago, Esau, the only thing I had with me was my staff. But now we read where he worships when he's dying and he's bleeding upon the top of that same staff. Hallelujah. You see, the staff, Hebrew means wanderer. They didn't have a place to settle. They didn't have a desk and filing cabinets to keep record. So what they would do is they'd make a mark on their staff, or they'd put a color paint, and probably he had a color from when God met with him in Bethel and the angels were ascending and descending. He probably had a color when he married Leah, and then another color when he married Rachel, and another color when he stopped off at Peniel and he saw God face to face. He had another color when his son was sold by his brothers, Joseph sold into Egypt. Maybe another color when he found out that Joseph was alive and he had this staff, and all of the memories of yesterday were recorded upon this staff. You see, it removes us from opposition, but not only it releases us from oppression. I want to just go through some more references to the staff. In Exodus 12 and 11, the children of Israel are leaving Egypt after the feast of the Passover. And thus shall you eat it with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and ye shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. Isn't it amazing? But not only does it release us from oppression, it resists outside forces. You see, there's an enemy that always wants to come against you. In 1 Samuel, in chapter 17 and verse 40, Jesus told Simon Peter, Simon, he said, I have prayed for you. Satan has desired to have you and sift you as wheat. I just want you to know this morning, understanding that there's some opposition out there. There's something that's going to come against you, and you're going to have to deal with it. But by faith, this year, the opposition is going to fail. The opposition is going to fall. And we see little David, and he has a staff in his hand, but he's got five stones out of the brook, and he's got a little sling. But you see, he's got his weaponry for the enemy, but he's got his staff going before him. And he took his staff in his hand and chose him five stones out of the brook and put them in a shepherd's bag, which he had. Somebody said that Goliath had four brothers. I just think that he took the five stones because the number five represents the number of grace, even in a script. And in his sling was in his hand, and he drew near the Philistine. I just came by here to tell you, if you can stir up the faith of God that is in you, you can resist the opposition, and the staff is going to make all of the difference in the world. But not only does it resist outside forces, but it has resurrection opportunities. Let us look in 2 Kings 4:29. Then said he to Gehazi, this is another story. Oh, this is something that kind of stood out to me. You see, Elijah had gone by, and this woman would always fix a meal for him. And she had her husband to build a room onto the house. And she was so good to the prophet. The prophet had told Gehazi to look out and see if she needs anything. And so when he checked it out, she didn't have any children. And so Elijah told her, by this time next year, you're going to have a son. And now the son is working in the field and has some kind of a stroke, and he is died. And this woman goes out and finds Elijah and says, I didn't ask you to have God give me a child, and now he's dead. And Elijah told Gehazi, said, take my staff in thy hand and go thy way. If thou meet any man, salute him not. And if any man salute thee, answer him not again. And lay my staff upon the face of the child. Oh my God, do you see the power of this thing? But I just want to share a little footnote with you on this one. Gehazi went and laid the staff upon the child, but it did not resurrect the child. I said, did it fail? It's like the Spirit of the Lord said, no. Said everybody has to have their own staff. You see, you can't have power based upon my experiences. Whoa. You know, Jesus said the staff represents your life that is lived and where you've been and what you've been through. And he said, when you go out to witness, he said, don't take a book of religiosity. He said, don't take some creed of some denomination. That just take your staff. And when they want to talk to you, you tell them about where you've been. You tell them about how you crossed the Red Sea. You tell them about how you fed the 5,000. You tell them about how you walked through demons and hell and powers and they couldn't touch you. You tell them about your personal experience. You are redeemed by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of your testimony, church. Don't argue some religion. Tell them what God Almighty has done in your life. And what I'm saying is, we see all of these powers, and they were all represented by a staff. But you see in Genesis 48, verses 8 through 21, and I'm going to close, and this is Jacob. And he beheld Joseph's sons and said, who are these? Whew. See, Jacob thought that Joseph was dead. Not only did he see his son again, and Joseph said unto his father, "These are my sons whom God hath given me in this place." And he said, "Bring them, I pray thee, unto me, and I will bless them." And the eyes of Israel were dim for age, so that he could not see. And Joseph brought them near unto him, and he kissed them and embraced them. And Israel said to Joseph, or Jacob said to Joseph, "I had not thought to see thy face, and lo, God hath shown me also thy seed." This is a beautiful story, y'all. We're about to see something absolutely amazing right now. And Joseph brought them out from between his knees and bowed himself with his face to the earth. And Joseph took them both, Ephraim in his right hand toward Jacob's left hand, and Manasseh in his left hand toward Jacob's right hand, and brought them near unto him. And Israel stretched out his right hand and lay it upon Ephraim's head, who was the younger, and his left hand upon Manasseh's head, guiding his hands wittingly, for Manasseh was the firstborn. You see, this is the problem with tradition. Abraham had a problem with it with Ishmael. Isaac had a problem with it because Esau was the older. And you see, even though he blessed the younger, like God had told him, it was through deception. But I want to tell you something. This is what he's talking about by faith when Jacob blessed the two sons of Joseph. And he, guiding his hands wittingly, for Manasseh was the firstborn. And he blessed Joseph and said, "God, before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac did walk, the God which fed me all my life long unto this day." You see the staff? You see the remembrance? The staff represented all of his yesterdays. "The angel which redeemed me from all evil, bless the lads, and let my name be named upon them, and the name of my fathers Abraham and Isaac, and let them grow into a multitude into the midst of the earth." And when Joseph saw that his father laid his right hand upon the head of Ephraim, it displeased him, and he held up his father's hand to remove it from Ephraim's head and unto Manasseh's head. And Joseph said unto his father, "Not so, my father, for this is the firstborn. Put thy right hand upon his head." And his father refused and said, "I know it, my son, I know it. And he also shall become a people, and he also shall be great. But truly his younger brother shall be greater than he, and his seed shall become a multitude of nations." And he blessed them that day, saying, "In thee shall Israel be blessed, saying, God, make thee as Ephraim." Put his name first, and as Manasseh. And he said, "Ephraim before Manasseh." And Israel said unto Joseph, "Behold, I die, but God shall be with you and bring you again unto the land of your fathers." What are you saying, Brother David? I'm telling you what this staff represented is the cross of Calvary. And when he stood Ephraim and Manasseh before him, and he put Ephraim on his Jacob's left hand and Manasseh on his right hand, so that he could just reach out his hand. But you see, the first man, the oldest man, Adam, had fallen. Our greatest blessing is going to come through the youngest son, the birth of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And when Jacob crossed his hands, he said, "Because of the cross, the younger is going to have the greater blessing." I love the way Brother Mel made this. He put three rusty nails at the top of it. You see, when we leave this world, we can go out on top because of the cross, because of the staff. You know, there's some religions, and they want to base everything on where you came from. But if you ever pass by this cross, where you've been is no longer existing. Hallelujah. You're brand new. It don't matter. See, I've got three things that the Spirit gave me to determine the difference between religion and a relationship with Jesus Christ. Number one, if the rules are more important than the people, it's religion. If the people are more important than the rules, it's a relationship. If it's about where you've been, it's religion. If it's about where you're going, because the cross marked the end of your yesterday and the beginning of your tomorrow. And if it's about what you did for God, it's religion. If it's about what God did for you, it's a relationship with Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Simeon said, I'm going to depart now. And instantly, the Bible said, grace walked in. Hallelujah. Isn't it amazing? You could be over yonder, living a life of misery and pain, but instantly, because of the staff that we call an old rugged cross, we have a new beginning. Hallelujah. Somebody wrote a song one time and said, I know I'm traveling right because I remember passing Calvary. All of those staffs just look like somebody was carrying a stick. And you would say, what power is in the stick? But you see, the real power may not be the stick, but it may be the person connected to the stick. Glory to God. Would you stand with me? We have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Our yesterdays are simply that. I love the thought that this new year began on a Sunday, because when Christ arose from the grave, he arose on a Sunday. And if we will just be risen with him, wow, the cross doesn't speak of our death, but it speaks of our past being dead. And the Bible said, in Hebrews 11 and 21, it said, in Jacob, when he was dying, blessed his grand boys by faith, and then rejoiced, leaning. Did you know if we understand the power of the cross, we don't go out on this world without or under the circumstances or under the sufferings and under the struggles and under the difficulties, but because of the staff, the cross, we will go out on top. Let this new year be the year that you realize what you have, and that where you've been is not going to determine where you're going. Amen and amen.